be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In the Song of Solomon, just again briefly, the Song of Solomon is a story about a believer in the midst of believers who's decided that their pursuit, the pursuit of their life, was to experience and manifest fully their union with Christ. And no matter what they may have to give up, no matter what they may have to, what may be involved in the pursuit. And there are a couple of times in the Song of Solomon where the Shulamite stumbles. And there's some fascinating things about this, and I don't know why the Lord wanted me to talk to you about this today. Maybe some of you have experienced, not the stumbling, we've all experienced the stumbling. But there's a fascinating part, and this is chapter 3. It says, "On my bed, night after night, I sought him whom my soul loves. I sought him, but did not find him. I must arise now and go about the city, in the streets and in the squares. I must seek him whom my soul loves. I sought him, but did not find him. And the watchmen who make the rounds in the city found me. And I said, have you seen him whom my soul loves? And scarcely had I left them, when I found him whom my soul loves, and I held on to him and would not let him go, until I brought him to my mother's house, the room of her who conceived me." Interesting to me that how the Holy Spirit, three different times in this little section, where this believer, this Shulamite, doesn't respond the way they were supposed to the Lord calling them to rise up and come away with him to this new place. And so this is a place of disobedience in the life of the Shulamite. And yet three different times the Shulamite talks about he whom my soul loves, he whom my soul loves, he whom my soul loves. The fact that you don't get it right sometimes is not evidence of the fact that you don't believe, you don't love him. And the Lord doesn't look at your failure and go, well, then you're just a big phony. You tell me that you love me, you worship me, you pray, and then you blew it. And so this stuff about you loving me is not genuine at all. Your very longing to love him, he counts as authentic. And see, we're afraid to hear those things sometimes because if we hear that, then we think then the person's then just going to go sin all they want to because it doesn't matter. This is a love relationship. This is like Zacchaeus. It wasn't because Jesus made him feel guilty or threatened him. He was responding out of love to give half of what he had. Jesus never asked for it. And the fact that you don't always get it right doesn't mean that he doesn't enjoy you and doesn't believe that your love for him is authentic and real. And three times this Shulamite expresses that he whom her soul loves. And then it says that the Shulamite encounters the watchman on the wall, the watchman in the city. Now, specifically the watchman or the guardsman of the wall in the Song of Solomon speaks of leaders or people who have influence in our lives spiritually. And it says about them that here she's in this place, this condition of failure. It says, I sought him and my soul loves. The watchmen who make the rounds in the city found me. And the result of this believer in the midst of failure encountering these other believers who have influence in their life, the result is that when scarcely had I left them, that I found him whom my soul loves. You and I are going to have multiple opportunities to be around or near believers who have blown it, who are struggling. The consequence of them encountering us should be that they immediately encounter Jesus. That scarcely having left us, they have a fresh encounter with him. That should always be the consequence. And so I'll go ahead and say that all of us as believers carry influence in somebody's life. And so in some ways, I know this is specifically about leaders, people who have mentor relationships, or that kind of thing with us, leaders in the body of Christ, but we all are called to impact others. And when somebody who's blown it encounters us, the result of their encountering us, they should immediately encounter Jesus. In other words, we've pointed them to Christ. They've encountered Christ by our conversation, by our direction, by manifestation, and they immediately encounter him after that. But in Song of Solomon chapter 5, similar ways, the believer again doesn't respond, is in a place of disobedience. This is chapter 5 and verse 2. I was awake, I was asleep, but my heart was awake. A voice, my beloved, was knocking, saying, rise up, my love and my perfect one, my dove and my heart. For my head is drenched with dew, and my locks with the damp of the night. And I have taken off my dress, she says. How can I put it on again? I've washed my feet. How can I dirty them again? And my beloved extended his hand to the opening. And my feelings, my emotions were aroused for him. and I rose to open my beloved. And there's a lot of cool stuff here we don't have time for. My hands dripped with myrrh, my fingers with liquid myrrh on the bolts, on the handles of the bolt. And I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had turned away and gone. My heart went out to him and as he spoke, and I searched for him and did not find him. And I called to him, but he did not answer me. The watchmen who make the rounds in the city found me. But it says, this time they struck me, and they wounded me. And the guardsmen of the wall took away my shawl from me. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, as to what you will tell him, for I am sick, I am lovesick. What kind of beloved is your beloved, O most beautiful among women? What kind of beloved is your beloved that you adjure us? My beloved is dazzling and ruddy, and he's the chief among 10,000, and goes on and on and on. Here's this Shulamite, again in a condition of having blown it and struggling, and this time encountering people who have influence. Now, these are daughters of Jerusalem, were all the believers in the Song of Solomon, but not necessarily have decided that the pursuit of their life would be to experience and manifest fully their union with Christ. The watchman in the wall could be part of that. They would be part of the believers. And the result of them encountering her in this position of vulnerability, instead of scarcely leaving that encounter and finding Jesus, instead they condemned her, they wounded her, and they uncovered her. That's a real sad thing, isn't it? That when believers who are blowing it and struggling come to us, the fact that they're searching is proof that their love for him is authentic. And they come to leaders, and maybe some of you have been hurt by church leaders or hurt by other believers in general who also carry responsibility. We carry responsibility for each other's souls. There's a place I was reading today because we're going to do Ephesians tonight, but it's a place in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. The idea is that you wouldn't lie to yourself, would you? Then why would you lie to your neighbor? Because you're in union with them also as the body of Christ. And why would I wound and uncover? Why would I condemn and uncover somebody else? Because we're one. They're my brother. They're my sister. Would I do that to myself? Would I go out to others and expose them to my sin to them? Uncover me and condemn me, tell him what a terrible person I am? No. Therefore, I should never do that to someone else. But here's the cool thing, is that having had that happen to the Shulamite, that's not where the Shulamite stayed. The Shulamite immediately goes and says to the daughters of Jerusalem, he said, I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, as to what you will tell him, for I am lovesick. So here's the thing I want you to hear, is that, and this is, whenever I find myself being critical of another believer, condemning them and uncovering them, remember what I just said, when I find myself doing that, it's always evidence that I have real lack in my life. It's not about the lack in their life. It's always proof of lack in my life. And whenever that happens to me and some believer has offended me, if I stay in that offense, that's also evidence that there's real lack in my life. Because you see, the reason the Shulamite didn't stay in that place of being offended, earlier the other believers led her to Christ in her place of vulnerability. But now having hurt her and offended her, she immediately steps out of that. Why? Because she was lovesick. And when you have first love, when you walk in first love, when you're that much in love with Jesus, then you don't walk in lack. And when other persons offend you, you don't carry that around, because who gives a hoot? You can still cry out, I am my beloved's and he is mine. That's not changed. And immediately this Shulamite begins just to praise him and talk about he's the chief among 10,000. He's what's most important to me. He's what matters to me. And also I've discovered too is that when we criticize and condemn other believers, it's because we're carrying around offense in our own hearts. Because it's always the offended who offend, who criticize and condemn, always. And again, it's evidence of a lack of lovesickness. Lovesickness is the cure of all things. Being radically in love with Jesus. Now, I can turn on the news. If I'm walking in that place, if I'm abiding in that place, I can turn on the news and they can all tell me about how everything in America is going to hell in a handbasket. And then the next minute is, well, I'm sure my beloved is mine. I'm my beloved's, his desires for me. Not that those things don't matter. You with me? But there's something that matters more. And the interesting thing about the Shulamite having said they've uncovered me and condemned me, there's not one other verse in chapter 5 where she spends any more time, wasting time, talking bad about them who had hurt her. There was something more important. Something else was consuming her, and that was Jesus, and how wonderful he was, how wonderful he is. I know that sounds simplistic, but it's really true. The lovesick don't stay offended, and the lovesick aren't instruments of offense. I can't, in a position that I'm in, so I have to guard my own sin, my own tendency to be petty. But I have to be careful too, because I constantly have people coming to me with offended hearts. And if I'm not careful, it's not my fault. I'll come into agreement with that. But what the Lord really wants us all to hear is that's all evidence that there's real lack in your life. It's not about them. And to carry an offense for a long time is just proof that Jesus is not enough, and that somehow you feel that you're missing out on the best life has to offer because that person hurt you or didn't give you the credit you think you deserved or didn't stroke you the way you think you should have been stroked. There's really a bigger story than all that. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.